Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Marta McDonald.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. Dive in with us as we talk to the artists of the 2023 season
and get a behind-the-scenes peek at the seven fantastic shows happening this summer.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front-row seat.
See you at the theater.
Welcome back to the 2023 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabeg peoples. We're in the MyFM studio, which looks out on the St. Lawrence River, surrounded by the beautiful Thousand Islands. My name is Marta McDonald.
And I'm Allison Hess. Thank you for joining us today as we dive into our last production of the 2023 season, The Runner.
When Jacob, a member of the Zaka Volunteers Force, makes the split-second decision to treat a young woman instead of the soldier she may have killed, he must grapple with the political and moral fallout of his choice. Based on a real-life Zaka member, this story will have you on the edge of your seat and leave you breathless.
The Runner, originally directed by Daniel Brooks, is written and this remount directed by Christopher Warris, and it is a Human Cargo production. Human Cargo is a Toronto-based theater company dedicated to the creation of theater that explores the extremes of the human condition. Human Cargo's goal is to bring new voices to the world stage, offer diverse perspectives of the human condition, and celebrate our evolving Canadian identity.
We're happy to have Human Cargo artistic director, playwright, and remount director here in the studio with us today, Christopher Morris. Hi, Christopher.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for joining us and wearing so many hats.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we always like to do a little bit of a read-through of, not your whole bio, but just some kind of big top hits before we jump in. So as we mentioned, you are an actor, a playwright, and a director, and the artistic director of Human Cargo. We have Tremblant, your upcoming production that's premiering in Montreal this coming November. And as we already mentioned, wrote The Runner. And you actually produced one of your previous shows here at the Playhouse. Was it back in like 2010?
11?
I think, it was around that time.
Night. Yeah,
right.
So for those of you who saw that at the Far Hall, that's another Human Cargo production, which is pretty exciting to have you back. Have been here and then have you back as well. Now, something that I think for a lot of our audience is a point of pride is that a lot of our productions we produce and create here. And The Runner is a little bit special because we call it a presentation. But basically that means that Human Cargo, your company, created and put together this entire production. And then you bring it to the theater here in GAN and present it. So I think that's really going to be exciting for our audience and really special to have that, have you be able to come and show this really amazing production. Can you tell us a bit about like Human Cargo itself? Like we gave a little bit of a run through of like what it is, but how did you even come to create this theater company? Because it is very different than a lot of kind of typical companies that sort of have a brick and mortar space and have a season and then they do next season, kind of like what we do. But mm-hmm. Human Cargo is kind of special.
Yeah. Also, too, I went to Queen's University, so this being here in Gananoque, and I have a long history with being here. Driving in, I was like, oh my God, I have so many memories of this place mm-hmm. over the years of acting, coming to see shows here as a student. So I think of this because during my third year of university, I did an exchange to Trinity College in Dublin, and it was an extraordinary experience for me because I was acting in shows, and I wrote and directed shows there too. But I was with theater artists who were brought up in different theater cultures, and they had different mm-hmm. skills than I had. And it was amazing because I felt like I had no skills. And I could witness these things that these other people were doing that was just extraordinary. It's skills I didn't know or I didn't have. So being able to spend a whole year collaborating with people who were 10 times better than me and really pushed me to go outside myself to learn, to break down what I'm doing and to try to learn, just learn. So that experience, I think, had a profound impact on me, which led to Human Cargo. Because when I got out of Queens, I was part of Theater Front, the theater company with Daryl Cloran. And with Theater Front, we started doing these types of international projects, and it was the intention to kind of, again, put myself into a context where I'd be collaborating with people from other countries. So the first show we did was the Sarajevo Project, where we worked with Bosnian actors, and in Bosnia as well. So it was these experiences that just made me want to kind of commit a lot of my time and energy into creating experiences like this, where I could bring teams of other theater collaborators to also experience what it's like to work in this way. And then equally with the end result of the shows would be these unique hybrids of work that are different. Also, it's very important for me as a human being to stay involved in the world. I've done a lot of projects when I was younger where it was based on real people. While I was at Queens and in Kingston, and those experiences were the most exciting for me because I got to meet people, and it kind of went beyond just doing a show, and I usually developed these types of relationships with people that have lasted many, many years. So that's another part of what I do, though I like acting in shows, obviously, you know, or doing non-devised shows. It's important that I always stay connected to the world, and I think a lot about what I'm contributing to the world.
Yeah,
for God's sake.
Yeah.
And it's important to me. So all of these types of instincts and ideas kind of all arrive and coalesce. Is that the word? I guess all come together.
Because
I think Human Cargo
film has the capacity to do documentary and to actually go in and like observe the lives of people directly and then look at their emotions and what they go through. But theater, I mean, you can obviously put the people, as you said, you can bring people directly from those experiences and put them on stage, but a lot of times you need actors for that. You need playwright, you need the creation of something that is not exactly documentary but then tells the story in the most honest way that it can, which is basically like documentary theater.
There is a trend of documentary theater a while back. It's never been it's not something I related to or connected with, because for me, I feel like in the end, I need to make an incredible piece of theater. And I feel with the audiences that I'd be sharing it with here in Canada, there is a type of, you know, equation that works, a structure, dramatic structure that is inherent that can really affect people. So I always say that the work that we do, they're based on real people. They've been researched over many years. We don't rush the work. We kind of, when it's ready, it's ready.
Right.
And, but I take great liberties to dramatically interpret the people or the stories, so that all the work is like inspired by, in order to create a dynamic, exciting piece of theater.
So for context for our audience, like what was the timeline on The Runner? Like I know it's had other productions, but when did you start your research? When was your final draft done? When did you do your first production?
Yeah, in the process, right? Like you kind of talked about how you kind of meet these people and go places and make these relationships, but generally or also specifically with The Runner, like what's that even that process like of creating a show?
It's always, I first heard about Zaka when I was in high school in Markham, and it stuck with me. So as a teenager I was like, wow, there's these groups of people that go and collect up body parts of, you know, people who've passed away and help the families bury them properly. I was like, what is this? And it's for free, it's all volunteer work. So that stayed with me. And then when I was in my late 20s, I was thinking, this could be theater, like something theatrical I could maybe do with this. And then my first trip to Israel was in either 2008 or 2009. And during that time, I kind of went there just to completely expose myself to Zaka. I met different Zaka members there. Also to expose myself to the city of Jerusalem. And I spent a lot of time in the West Bank as well, in the Palestinian territories. And during all that time, I just kind of met as many people as possible and talked from all different walks of life and perspectives, mm-hmm. just to start to begin to understand the context in which these volunteers work.
Right.
And then I went back again in, I think, 2013 for a good period of time. I think that was 8 weeks when I went mm-hmm. back on that time. And met the same people again and continued these discussions. And throughout all this time, I'd write little attempts at a play that mm-hmm. kind of didn't work, but there's still, it's the process, you know. And then I went back again in 2016. I brought Daniel Brooks with me, and we spent a bunch of time. That was quite a while. And then in 2018, I went back with the original actor of the show, Gord Rand. He and I went about a month and a half before we premiered it. And then it premiered in 2018. Mm-hmm. And we've been touring it ever since. Mm-hmm. However...
With the exception of...
Yeah, COVID kind of interrupted a lot of stuff. But to me, I'm still finding words. Just the other day, I'm like, we should have so, comma there. We need that. The process never ends. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot with the work. There isn't an end date or an end goal, and then that's the show, and then replicate it. It's an ongoing, long process.
Well, we've done a few shows like this in the Playhouse's history that I think something so unique about it is that typically the creator and the creation of the work stays with it as it carries on. So, like, you've been a part of the process with Gord, and then you performed in it yourself, mm-hmm. and now David.
Yeah.
And that's similar to things like for our Playhouse audiences, like Jake's Gift and Beneath Spring Hill, that are all one person, typically, pieces that were created by someone who then has put them on themselves and then potentially will basically mentor someone into taking on that role and doing it in future productions, so that it becomes kind of like a small collective of people that put on this show, rather than like you sort of sell the script to someone and then they do their own version. It's like this production has been the same throughout. So that's why we still reference Daniel, even though you're doing the remount.
Oh, yeah.
It's his production.
I am merely like very
shakily guiding
his ship into port. Yeah. But like, this show is hands down.
Yes.
Daniel Brooks's mm-hmm. production, and I'm just trying to make sure I get out of the way to make sure I can help let it flourish.
Well, and I think that's a theater concept that I think that some people don't quite think about too much when they're walking through. Like, our mm-hmm. production of The Sound of Music was completely brand new. It was from the brain of Naomi Costain, who was the director, and although the script maintains its integrity in exactly the same way as it would in every other production, she can put to it whatever she wants on top of the script, whereas your production of The Runner and every other production of The Runner that anyone will have ever seen, other than the actor changing, are the same.
It's Daniel's.
Same treadmill.
Yeah, it's Daniel's production with the design, the exact same.
Yeah. And I do really want to talk about the trauma, but I have one more question in terms of, like, Human Cargo. Like, I know with Tremblement that's coming up in November in Montreal. And, I mean, I'm very interested in that, too, in that fact that it's in French with English surtitles.
Oh, yeah, there'll be no surtitles.
Oh, no surtitles even, just in French, which is amazing.
French production for the...
And, like, looking at the different things that you've done, like Night, The Road to Paradise, you know, where do these, do these ideas just sort of, like, pop in and then you're kind of exploring these different stories and traveling around? Or do you kind of get an idea of a show and focus on it and you're like, that is kind of the thought in your brain for the next... You know.
10 years.
It's more, I think, with Tremblement, for example, it's so I wrote it in English.
Right.
I developed it in English. But so that I'll take a step back.
Yeah.
It usually, these projects begin with an instinctual feeling of wanting to explore something. Mm-hmm. So for Tremblement, it was, I love MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières. I think they're the bee's knees. And I thought, man, it would be really great to do a project about MSF. More importantly, I thought it would be great to do a project where I could follow, where I could follow someone who's about to do their first mission and follow them before, during, and after their first mission. And that was the project, to see how it affects them. I didn't know what form it would take or anything.
Right.
So then from that, then that begins the exploration. And it's based... I approached Médecins Sans Frontières in Toronto, and they introduced me to a whole bunch of team members who are about to go on their first mission. I did this training course with them all.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then that's where I met a nurse, Lisa, who the play is based on. And with her permission, you know, obviously, we're good friends now. Like, just kind of followed her for about 6 years. And it's about her, and it's inspired by her, hence it's in French, and she's based in Montreal. So yeah, it begins with these, I trust the instincts that I have, and if it sticks with me, that'd be a great thing, then I'm in. And it's the research, it's the people, it's the topics that come up, the things I learn that then start to shape the form of the script or what it can be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's exciting.
And such a cool process, as Marta was saying, compared to, you know, something like a book musical, like, which are also things that we do here at the Playhouse and are loved. But I think it's so important for our audience, every audience, to be able to see these different types of theater, these devised pieces, that sort of thing, too, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So with The Runner, I know we kind of mentioned the idea of the treadmill, the 24-foot-long treadmill. Where did that even come from? Where were you like, we are doing, because I know it's, you know, we're like Zaka was kind of the idea, but were you like, he's running? Or did that sort of come where you're like, how are we placing this person in these situations? And then you're like, well, we'll have them run. How will we have them run? Let's do a treadmill. Like, how did that even come about?
Well, we were lucky enough to have, I think, she's the best designer in Canada, Jillian Gallo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She won the Siminovich Prize the most recent.
We've had Jillian before. I'm trying to think of exactly what she did. But.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, she was the set and costume designer on it. So right away, when you have somebody like her working on the show, and a collaborator like Daniel, who has a wealth of experience that he brought to the show, and importantly, too, a very open mind and. He's open to everyone contributing, and he was at that time. Earlier on, I don't know how much, but it was extraordinary. So I always thought these Zaka volunteers, they're volunteers, so they have most people have regular jobs, and depending on where an accident happened or a terrorist attack or whatever, they would the person who's closest would respond. Mm-hmm. So if something happened in the harbor here, and you were part of Zaka, you would get the call and you would run out of here quickly. So I always had the idea that thinking these people run, you know, quickly to go somewhere. So then I thought, oh, we'll call the play The Runner. I don't know if I like the title The Runner. I have to be honest with you, but it worked for that time, the concept. And I'd written in the script that he's running every now. There was these stage directions when he runs. So, you know, we thought of many different things. How do you show that on stage and make it look interesting? And we tried everything. And the biggest thing was, what I like doing is saying, if we had $10 million.
Yeah, blue sky ideas.
Yeah, what would it be?
Yeah.
Like, what would we do? And the idea of seeing him literally running on something came to be. And then someone told me that a show happened in Montreal by this amazing company there, where they did a kind of dance thing on a treadmill. Mm. So I called them. They gave me advice on the conveyor belt people. And then I found out how much it cost. And I was like, I think we could pull this off. And then it just came from there. But it took a lot of exploration and discussion and trying different things. And it kind of whittles down. And it is the perfect metaphor as well for the story. It's a perfect set design. It's perfect. It's perfectly married with the essence of what's happening to the character in the play.
Well, it's so interesting. Like, it's so dynamic to watch someone not only performing,
but to see them in that kind of like physical labor.
Yeah, because for the whole show, it's moving the whole time.
Yeah.
And at times he runs almost at a sprint.
Wow.
And you watch an actor burn off an hour of their life.
I was going to say, like, you've done the show as an actor as well. You've done productions of it. Is there, like conditioning or, like, training that has to be done to be able to, like... I mean, I know actors are often in, like, fairly good physical shape to begin with. But do you have to do any kind of, like, preparation where you can run and speak at the same time and, like, be able to convey emotion while also...
Or does that come out like during rehearsal? Like, does there kind of like, okay, I got to do my like couple kilometers a day to prep for it?
It's more, I don't know. I never trained for it, and I probably would have been better off if I did. but it is more of the, can I talk at a rapid pace when I'm walking very quickly and putting it out to a bigger house, a bigger audience, and that. Yeah, it's a lot, but equally, it's also interesting to see the performer struggle.
Well, I was just going to say that as I was thinking more about it, I was like, well, the whole point is that it's a regular person who volunteers, so it's not like it's a marathon runner.
That's
trained. Like it's not somebody who's trained, so you'd want them to run out of breath and to feel exhausted and to.
Yeah, and in the rehearsal process too, I was over at the production facility, and so the treadmill's in the rehearsal room too.
You
rehearse with the treadmill the entire time because for a lot of shows, like you'll tape out the set, you rehearse, and then it's not till you move into the theater space that you see the entire set and all of the technical aspects. But the treadmill is right there.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah. Like we did 2 weeks of rehearsal in Montreal before we came, just to kind of do all the table work, and now David will get a full week. Before we have lights, you know, before we move into the theater, he can now have a full week on the machine.
Yeah. So you mentioned David, and that was going to be my next question. So previously we were talking about Gord and how he went on one of your trips with you, and he was the original actor in this. Mm-hmm. And the only other person that's done it is you. Mm-hmm. So then how did you find David? Where did that come from? Like, was there an audition process, or did you know him and you thought he'd be great at the part? How did that work?
Yeah, I've known David for many years. We both did a show at Alberta Theatre Projects some years back. And David's a really dynamic, interesting, beautiful actor on stage. And when I found out I had to recast for the show, I just thought a lot about it. And a colleague of mine had recently worked with David, and she strongly said, "What about David?" And I was like, "Yeah, David."
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a wonderful experience getting to work with him on this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's exciting to have to add a person to your roster of people who have done the runner.
Amazing. Yeah. So something we always like to do in our podcast, because a lot of our audience are people coming to come see the show. It's a pre-show podcast. So they're driving in and always looking for things in Gananoque. I know you've all just touched down, but has there any place that you've been or you're looking forward to going to while you're in town?
Yes, it's I know one thing too. I was acting here before, and I spent a lot of time in those amazing cabins
out on the
Howe Island Ferry Road.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's been such a that time was really, really. I've spent a lot of time out there, and it's a very magical place. So I know for sure I'm going to be driving out there just to kind of just peek over the fence, you know, just to kind of see that. That's important. And then, I also really want to go to Lighthouse Provisions.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's one place for sure that I'll be going to.
Yeah, awesome, great local place, definitely.
So you're going to be back, right? You'll do the rehearsal process, and then you're coming back to do a couple of talkbacks after the show.
Yes,
on the Friday nights of the run, November 10th and 17th. So
right, yes. Yeah. So as our audience knows, we always have talkback Tuesdays in our Fire Hall productions, and with our performers, facilitated by me. But we're really excited to have Christopher come back and actually do a couple talkbacks too, as as a remount director and playwright, which I think will be really cool.
On Fridays.
On Fridays. Yeah. Fridays. Yes. So a special. So we'll have both, which is great. So we'll have our ones with David on Tuesdays, and then the two Fridays.
Especially the SM team. Maybe they would want to join as well.
Yeah, true. Love it. Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And as always, we want to express our special thanks to Mark Hunt for composing the Playhouse podcast music.
This podcast is sponsored and produced by MyFM Gananoque. Many thanks to Carrie and the entire MyFM team for all of their help.
For more ticket information, please visit us at ThousandIslandsPlayhouse.com.
And we'll see you at the theater.